then there's unity. And so James defines wisdom from above and wisdom from the earth, which is devilish and sensual and is not of God. We're going to go back to the book of James and look at chapter 1 here, and we're going to look at some Bible principles real simple tonight on how we can be overcomers of confusion in our lives. James chapter 1, verse number 19. The context of James chapter 1, by the way, is we're talking about the Word of God. So we always take the Bible in its context, and we notice here that the Bible is talking about God's Word and obedience to God's Word. If we are following the Word of God, it protects us from being one who seems to be religious, someone who has an outward show of religion or devotion to God, is what that word means, religion, devotion to God. It's not just an outward show of looking like we're devoted to God, but truly being devoted to God. And so the Bible ends it by saying pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so we're going to look at how we get there, how we protect ourselves from confusion and get to the product that God wants us to have. And so how do we do that? Well, look what the Bible says here in verse number 19. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray as we study it that you would give us understanding and direction. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to not only to be a hearer of your word, but a doer also. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to consider some overcoming principles tonight, overcoming principles to help us to beat confusion and to get to spiritually where God would have us to get to, and that is pure religion, pure devotion to God. Now, I heard the story of two men that had an argument, and so they decided to settle the matter of their argument. They were going to meet a judge for arbitration, and that judge was going to decide who was right and who was wrong. And so the plaintiff made his case, and he was very eloquent and persuasive in his reasoning as he described the issue. And when he finished, the judge nodded in approval and said, that's right, that's right, that's right. And so what happened was, when the man heard this, the defendant jumped up and he said, you know, wait a minute, judge, you haven't heard my side in my case yet. And so the judge told the defendant to state his case, and he too was very persuasive and very eloquent as he gave his case. And when he finished everything, the judge looked at that defendant and said, that's right, that's right, that's right. Now, when the clerk of the when the clerk heard this, the clerk was upset, and he jumped up and he said, judge, they both can't be right. And the judge looked at the clerk of the court and said, that's right, that's right, that's right. Now, we looked at last week the idea that truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. And we talked about the fact last week that if we are going to get to where God wants us to get to, this place spiritually, maturity, then we're going to have to do this through absolute truth. And this is really what James is talking about in this passage of Scripture. He tells us to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer, only deceiving our own selves. Self-deception is probably one of the worst types of deception. And so we want to get to where God wants us, and so we're going to have to hear the word of God, listen to what God has to say, but we're also going to have to act upon that truth. You know, the difference between worldly wisdom and biblical counseling or biblical wisdom is that one speaks about ideologies and philosophies, and the other speaks of truth. And God lays out for us truths to help us in our life. But it's not just about hearing truth. It's about responding to truth. Now, you have an outline in your on the back of your bulletin, and so you can follow along here. I want us to look at, by way of introduction tonight, what, you know, to kind of help us to understand some principles of truth here, to help us to understand the truth that we're talking about. First of all, know this, truth is in us. Now, I'm, of course, talking to Christians, believers, those who are born again tonight. But for a Christian, truth is in us. In other words, the Bible teaches us that we have the very mind of Christ. The Bible says this in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So the Bible talks about the fact that those who know the Lord, who are Christians, we have the Holy Spirit that abides within us, and the Holy Spirit guides us, directs us, he comforts us, and he does a work of grace in our life. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 10 says this. It says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. And so we have within us the truth of the Word of God and the Spirit's indwelling in our life. But not only as Christians is the truth in us, but the Spirit guides us into all truth. The Spirit guides us into all truth. John 16, 13 teaches us this, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And what that means is the Christian is directed toward truth by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always directing us to truth. God always leads us to himself. God always leads us to himself. And this helps us to know, by the way, who's leading our life. Because God always leads us to himself. At least it teaches us who we're listening to. But also, Jesus himself is declared truth. Jesus himself is the truth. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is 1 John 4:4. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Of course, John 14, 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 5, 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And so the Bible teaches us that Jesus himself is the truth. Now in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, it says in verse 6, it says that he that knoweth God heareth us. The word there, heareth, is an interesting word. The idea, of course, is that if we are of God, we hear his voice. And this is truth, truth within us. The Spirit's working to guide us into truth as Jesus himself is the truth. Now, with truth around us and truth in our hands, and we have the Spirit's work in our life, the devil is busy trying to confuse us, to confuse the truth. I heard the story once, the devil was walking along with one of his followers, and they saw a man ahead of them picking up something shiny. And the follower of the devil said, what is he picking up? And the devil replied, it's a piece of truth. And the cohort of the devil said, doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of truth? And the devil said, no, I will see to it that he makes religion out of it. And so the devil is busy trying to distort and confuse people to walk from God and from the truth. But we have the truth within us. We have the truth in our hands. We have the Spirit of truth that indwells us. And so greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so James gives us three simple principles in this scripture to help us to overcome the confusion that's in our world today. And it's real simple. It's all found in these two verses. First of all, notice this in our notes here. Number one, it's about hearing the truth. Hearing the truth. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Now, we are, as the Bible teaches us, we are to be prompt and ready to hear the word of God. You know, many times we come, and whether it's our Bible study, our devotions, or whether it's in our own life, maybe in church, and we hear a sermon or a Bible study or a devotional, and we are hearing the Bible, but we're not digesting the Bible. And we're not quick to hear. We don't come ready to say, God, what do you have for me tonight? What do you have for me today? We don't come swift to hear or prompt and ready to hear what the Bible has to say. And many times we're guilty of that. We're not ready to hear the Bible. Well, visiting the president of a small denominational college, a pastor expressed his firm biblical conviction that nothing new could ever be invented into the world. The educator, of course, disagreed. He said this, "Why, in 50 years, I believe it may be possible for men to soar through the air like birds." The president of the college was shocked. And this was his response. He said, "Flight is strictly reserved for the angels." And he insisted, "I beg you not to repeat your suggestion, lest you be guilty of blasphemy." And ironically, the mistaken president was talking to a man named Milton Wright. And that was the father of the Wright brothers, who indeed would be the first to fly 33 years later. You know, sometimes we come into a place in our life and a service or reading the Bible, and we have these preconceived notions. We think we already know, you know, especially, I don't know about you, but, you know, the preacher, the pastor starts talking about salvation, we kind of just tune it out. We're like, we're already saved, you know, but the Holy Spirit can still use that message to help us. And we still have to be prompt. We still have to be ready to hear what God has to say. And sometimes we have the attitude, well, I already know, or I heard sermons on prayer a million times, or I heard, you know, and how many sermons have we heard? We've heard countless sermons, but yet still the Bible says if we are going to protect ourselves from confusion, we have to be swift to hear. We have to be prompt and ready to hear what God has to say for us. You know, even sometimes when truth is hard for us to digest, even when truth is hard for us to understand, we always have to have the attitude that this is God's truth and it's God's truth that makes me free. And we have to be ready to hear what God has to say. James 1, verse 7, chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures." The Bible teaches us in this scripture that it's by the word of God that God gets us to the place where we ought to be. That God gets us to the place where we are like Jesus, the first fruits of his creatures. God wants us to be like him in our attitude, in our actions, in our reactions. And in order for us to get to that place, it's going to be through the word of God. And we have to be quick to hear what God has to say in our life. We never can treat the Bible or church like we're sitting in a classroom and class is in session, and there's a professor or someone giving a lecture, and it just becomes book knowledge and information. If that's how you see preaching or reading the Bible or you know your own devotions, then you're not going to get what God wants to give to you. The reality is we have to treat it like the truth. And what does God have for me today? What is God teaching me today? Has to be our attitude. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12 says, "And further by these, my son, be admonished by of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And it's true, much study is a weariness of the flesh. But the Bible is more than just information. It's about transformation. And it's about God speaking to us and giving us truth to help us, because he knows our heart. He knows where we are, and he can help us. So number one, we have to be quick to hear what God has to say for our life, hearing the truth. Number two, think about this, holding to the truth or unto the truth. It says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Now, we often use this, a great verse for kids, right? Listen up. You got to be quick to hear and slow to speak. God gave you two ears and he gave you only one mouth. But that's not what God's saying. He's speaking to believers, and he's speaking in the context of his word, that God wants us to hear what he's saying to us. And he doesn't want us to give excuses or justify or blame why we don't obey the truth. You know, all of these are reactions that are common when we hear the truth. Truth can sometimes bring up a lot of emotions, and that's okay. We always want to make sure that we go from truth to emotion, never emotion to truth. The reality is that we want to be slow to speak when it comes to the Bible, not to be defending ourselves of why we go a certain direction or we commit a certain sin, not to justify our actions. This is why, Lord, or have you seen this Christian and see what he does? No, slow to speak and to listen to what God has to say. It's interesting, the word speak there in verse 19, the word there, the Greek word, means to speak after. And it's the idea of not to attack or to talk back. You know, we don't like it when our children talk back, when we give them a command and they try to, why me? Why not him? You know, and that's what God's talking about in this scripture. Be slow to speak. You know, embrace the truth. You know, truth is our friend. It's to help us. God has given us truth to be our foundation and our strength. And the Bible says it's truth that makes us free. I want us to turn to John chapter 8. If you have your Bibles here tonight, let's look at John chapter 8. Can we? In verse 31. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Notice what the Bible says here. John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. The Bible says this, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered and said, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word, look at this, my word hath no place in you. My word hath no place in you. Now the Pharisees heard the word of God, but they didn't hold on to the word of God. In fact, Jesus said that the truth had no place in them. They heard, but they were quick to ignore. They were quick to push to the side. Now, if the Bible teaches us that our heart needs help, then we should follow the Bible and correct our heart. If the Bible says that we need to change our direction, then we need to turn. If the Spirit of God can fix our heart to pray more or to be faithful in witness, then we need to follow what God has to say. Don't fight truth. Embrace it. Hold on to it. And this is what God is saying here. God is saying we need to be quick to hear. we need to be slow to speak. But thirdly, and I'll be done, we need to not hinder the truth. This is number three, hindering the truth. Look what the Bible says now. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So here's what the Bible is saying here. Our wrath, our anger, does not get us to where God wants us to be. So we look at it from the context of this passage of Scripture. What is James saying here? James is saying, don't get angry at the truth. Don't get angry at the truth. Is it even possible for someone to hear the truth and be angry at the truth? Well, we know this is true for unbelievers. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 7. Would you turn there? Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And notice what the Bible says here in verse 57. Acts chapter 7 and verse 57. Acts chapter 7, verse 57. The Bible says, and they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears. You say, how in the world is it possible to stop your ears? It just means they just stopped listening. They were done with the truth. They weren't going to hear any more of the truth. So they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And Saul would later become a man named Paul. And the Bible says they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It's amazing how truth makes people angry, upset. And in this passage of Scripture, the Bible says that they were loud. Just because people are loud doesn't mean they're speaking the truth. The loudest person is not always the person that's right. And they were loud, and the Bible says they stopped their ears and they attacked Stephen, because Stephen gave the truth, all because he gave to them the truth. The Bible says to be slow to wrath. The word wrath here, the word means revenge, is the idea of getting back at someone, to be revengeful. And James makes it clear that the wrath of man does not work about God's plan in our life. Where God wants you spiritually is not accomplished by becoming angry at the truth. You embrace the truth. It's the truth that makes us free. Galatians chapter 5, would you turn there? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In verse number 7. This is what Paul said to the church at Galatia, the believers at Galatia. He said in verse number 5, chapter 5, verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Your attitude toward the truth will impact every area of your life. The Bible says a little leaven affects every area, leavens the whole lump. And the persuasion of rejecting truth, the persuasion of not hearing what God has to say, this is not from God. Remember, God always leads us to himself. Always leads us to himself. What is James teaching us in this scripture? He's saying our attitude toward God's word, our response to God's word, is paramount. It's paramount. I heard the story of a man who was sitting in a doctor's office waiting room, and he kept saying out loud as he was sitting in the office, he kept saying, I hope that I'm sick. I hope that I'm sick. I hope that I'm sick. And a man overheard him, and he finally asked him, he says, why in the world would you want to be sick? And he said, I'd hate to be well and to feel this bad. You know, our attitude, our perspective, it really changes our attitude for everything. And I believe the greatest factor to overcome all the confusion in our world today or in our life, it really comes down to our response to truth. You know, people who reject the truth are usually those who try to change the truth. People who take the truth and turn away from it are those who try to construe it to follow their own life. And our response or our attitude to truth, it impacts every area of our life. We want to make sure that we hear the truth. We want to make sure that we obey the truth so that we can get to where God wants us to get to. Here's what the Bible says, and I'll be done. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, it doesn't say we don't have the truth. Notice the phrase there. It says we do not the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we don't obey truth, we lie and we don't do the truth. It's so important for us to obey truth to get to where God wants us to get to. A way to protect ourselves from confusion is to have the right response when we hear the truth. Be excited to hear the truth. Be eager to apply the truth. And be earnest to not fight against the truth in your life. To have the attitude, God, what will you have me to do? Is the greatest attitude we could ever have. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We're grateful for it, for the truth.